Hello, my name is Shania Tarrigan and welcome to Torah Timacha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying the continuation of Chapter 1 of Sefer Kohelet and continuing with Perek Bet with Chapter 2. In Pasuk Yud Bet of Chapter 1, Kohelet reintroduces himself. This time, Ani Kohelet Hayiti Melech Al Yisrael B'Yerushalayim. He introduces himself as king over Yerushalayim, referring to his kingship in the past tense. We shall see that this formulation reflects Kohelet's conclusive assessment of his empire. He begins in the first person to basically corroborate everything that he has already said in the third person, but this time telling us that he himself was king and therefore had numerous resources available for the subsequent experiments that he's going to share with us. He summarizes the pessimistic results of his personal experimentation with various methods of how to live a purposeful life. He tells us that he tried, "V'natati et libi lidrosh v'lator b'chokhmah al kol asher nasa tachat ha-shamayim." He says, "I did try to figure out what is the point of man in this world, and I came to the conclusion, hu inyan ra natan alokim levnei adam la'anot bo, that employing all of my intellectual and material resources, I came to the conclusion that the world is really God's defective creation. It's all ra, meant to cause man tormenting frustration. La'anot bo, God created us just to put us in this world where we'll have to work and toil physically and literally be tortured." And he says, "You know what I did? I decided to experiment with this, to really try to figure out what is the point of man in this world." Pasuk Yudalid, beginning with its own verb, "Ra'iti et kol ha'ma'asim shenasu tachat ha'shemesh b'inei ha'kol havel ura'ot ruach." First, I tried the world of ma'asim, the world of actions. I tried to build, and we know from Sefer Malachim that Shlomo really did execute all of these different pursuits. He tried to build, and not just build, but he came to the conclusion, "Mu'uvat lo yachol litkon v'chasron lo yuchal lihimanot," that something that is crooked cannot be made straight. Something that is always going to be lacking cannot ever be fully numbered, cannot be fully filled. What he means by this is, I built so many buildings, and I perform so many different activities. Again, even activities of chesed, of kindness, and I see that you can never finish. You can never do everything that there is to do. You can never build, for example, bridges over every mass of body of water. And therefore, it must be that the world is not about ma'asim. Pasuk tetzayin, a new verb. Dibarti aniyim libi lemor ani hine higdalti vosafti chokma al kol asher hayalef anai al Yerushalayim v'libi ra harbe chokma badat. We know this also from Sefer Malachim. Shlomo says with a new verb, "I tried to also pursue wisdom, and I surpassed all my predecessors in Yerushalayim. Vetzna libi ladat, chokma vedat, holilot v'sechlut." And I actually apply my heart to know wisdom and to know even all different studies of folly. And I perceive that in the end, this was all yadati shegam zehu rayon ruach. It was all like the wind. It's all going to be ephemeral. And he's going to share with us in just a moment why, as he tells us that he pursued everything. Chochma, dat, holilot, sechlut. Notice that here, sechlut is written with a sin, which implies intelligence, albeit we're going to see sometimes it's written with a samach, because over time, the sin, which initially had its own phonetic identity, was merged with the identity of the samach, and therefore they're interchangeable. So we're going to try to see based on context when he means sechlut as intelligence, and when he means sechlut as the exact opposite, which is foolishness. Whatever the case is, though, he pursued all of these forms of wisdom, and in the end, it's like striving after the wind. Why is that? Ki berov chachma rov ka'as, verse 18, v'yosif da'at yosif machov, because I noticed that with wisdom comes frustration, and with knowledge comes sorrow. This we know from the famous phrase, the more you know you don't know. He, just like he has already told us that there are certain goals that can never be accomplished. You can't see and you can't hear and you can't speak everything that there is to speak. You can't even create something entirely new. And therefore, life without goals that can actually be accomplished is not meaningful. You can't call that a goal. Similarly, wisdom can't be called a goal because you never reach a state of fulfillment, and therefore you're never complacent. You're always going to be frustrated. Again, we know also from Flowers for Algernon that the more you know, the more you're frustrated by all that other people don't know. And this can be such a frustrating experience that it can't be that this is what life is about. He continues in chapter 2, Perek Bet. I then tried, "Amarti ani b'libi," third verb, third pursuit, Lachana anascha b'simcha u're'e b'tov. V'ine gam hu havel. I then said, let me pursue simcha. Maybe it's about happiness. But no, that's also havel. It's also vapor. It's also fleeting. L'schok amarti mahulal. Initially, I said that being happy is praiseworthy. But in the end, in the same pasuk, he says, ula simcha. Really, what does happiness do for you? And he proves and substantiates his pursuit of happiness as well. I really try this. I literally immersed myself in pleasure, in hedonistic pleasure. But you should know I didn't do this as an escape. I did this as part of my philosophical pursuit of happiness, to understand what is meaningful in this world. Ad asher ere eze tov levnei adam, asher yasu tachat hashamayim mispar yemei chayehem. I was trying to figure out what the point of man is in this world. And therefore, Kohelet here briefly expresses his frustration with these three potential models, dividing man's worldly aspirations into three categories: ma'asim, actions, meant to improve the world, knowledge, chachma, aimed at self-advancement, and the pursuit of pleasure at the beginning of chapter 2, Simcha. And yet he considered each one inconsequential. Man's actions cannot correct the world firmly defective. Knowledge affords no more than a better appreciation of our fruitless and frustrating existence, and pleasure achieves nothing at all. What we recognize here is that Kohelet itemizes the expansive resources that were at his disposal for his experimentation. He then continues with the first part of chapter 2, Psukim Gimel through Yud, describing how Kohelet himself benefited from a unique composite. Tarti, he tried, intellect, power, and wealth, which allowed him all the available resources to experiment with various venues of life. Although he devoted considerable resources and energy to constructing more than any predecessor, he remained the wisest of men and furnished his heart with all of his desires. That's why the first few psukim, Rama, Pasuk Gimel through Yud, tell us exactly this. Higdalti ma'asai, he says, believe me, I really tried everything. Baniti li batim, natati li kramim. We know that he didn't just build magnificent homes in Ir David or Bat Paro's home. His magnum opus, he built the Beit HaMikdash. He planted vineyards and gardens and placed, as we know, importing all different types of fruits. He created reservoirs of water, as we find in a Pasuk Vav. He expanded economically. He truly created a government, an enterprise, and culture. Kesef, Zahav, Skulat Malachim, even Sharim, Sharot, Tanugot Bnei Adam. He brought in theater and music. V'gadalti v'hosafti mikol shayalav anai b'Yerushalayim. Here he tells us that he really did try to pursue the world of actions. Av chochmati amdali. And he tried to really pursue everything that he could possibly desire. He fulfilled everything on his bucket list. Lo manati et libi mikol simcha, ki libi sameach mikol amali. Here the key word is amal, his actions. Zeh haya chalki mikol amali. Initially, he thought that his actions would yield some form of meaning. But then, Pasuk Yir Aleph, what was his conclusion? Ufaniti ani b'chol ma'asai sh'asu yadai, uva'amal sh'amati lasot, v'ine hakol havel u'ra'ot ruach. And here it comes again. Ve'ein yitron tachat ha'shemesh. After impressing us with the scope of his research, Kohelet returns to his conclusions. In retrospect, implied by the word upaniti, he labels all of his actions and effort as meaningless, for they yield no permanent improvement. Psukim Yud Bet through Tetzayin, 12 through 16, display this by contrasting the wise man with a foolish frolicker. Although we clearly perceive the superiority of the wise man, in the end it's insignificant because it does not alter his inevitable fate. He, just like the fool, cannot avoid eventual death, which renders them both equal. Just as death eradicates the effects of man's personal development, it likewise threatens the benefits of his accomplishments, for the continuity of the latter hinges on the will of his heirs. And who knows what will happen with his children, whether they're going to rename everything that he did and he built under a different name. Maybe they're going to dissolve his company. Qohelet ponders the efficacy of wisdom if it gains him nothing in the long run. So after teaching us about the short term of accomplishments, so too wisdom, beginning really with a pasuk tedvav, v'amarti ani b'libi, k'mikre haksil gam ani yikreni, v'lama chachmati ani az yoter, v'dibarti b'libi shegam zehavel. That I see that the same mikre, the same happenstance, referring to death, happens to everyone. And therefore, the wise, like the foolish, are eventually going to die. And they're eventually going to be forgotten. And therefore, what is the yitron, again, that word of as a neoter, what gain do I have? Similarly, what zechron is there going to be? I won't even be remembered, as goals are unattained in this world. In the last part of his speech, frustration fosters even revulsion. Psukim Yudzayin and Yuched open with the verb visaneti. Qohelet's disgust relates to his life in general, and specifically the accomplishments left to another. There was no purpose in everything that I built. He looks back, which corroborates that, as we discussed in the introduction, that Qohelet is written at the end of his life, and he looks back at all his wisdom and at all of his accomplishments, and he realizes, V'saneti et ha'chayim ki ra'alai ha'ma'aseh shenaseh tachat ha'shemesh. Everything that I accomplished was for naught. V'saneti ani et kol amali shani amal tachat ha'shemesh shanichenu la'adam shi'acharai. I'm going to leave it to my heirs, umi yodea hachachamia osachal v'yishlat b'chol amali shamalti v'shachachomati tachat hashemesh gam ze havel. He realizes that whatever it was that he accomplished, he's going to leave to someone else. And we know that the next generation, his own son Rechavam, the empire of Shlomo, is going to be dissolved. It's going to be given to Yerovam ben Nevat. And therefore, Shlomo now asks, why invest so much in what we inevitably pass on to those who may carelessly waste what they receive? Can we truly know the qualities of those who will inherit the products of our efforts? This helplessness yields absolute resignation. Yeush. In truth, Qohelet is frustrated not only by the uncertain future, but also by the injustice of having to bequeath one's accomplishments. Why should a worker inherit the fruits of another's labor? Why should someone who offers more money have a building named after him and the initial donor's name is going to be forgotten? What does the laborer gain from his efforts? What compensation does he receive for his years of sleepless, painful working nights, as he discusses in Pasuk Chaf Gimel? Parents often vent this frustration on children on whose behalf they have slaved away their entire lives, although they assume that their children are the primary purpose of their lives, and they work overtime to provide the most for them. They're justifiably frustrated when they reflect on these lost years. What were they really all about? In this introduction, Qohelet has exposed us to a number of possible ways to live a meaningful life. Ibn Ezra explains that this is what Qohelet means. It's Shlomo's collection of his personal experiences that accounts for the Sefer reference to him as Qohelet, as one who gathers. He presents these three formidable options of Ma'asim, a world of action, Chachma, a world of wisdom, Simcha, a world of intellectual hedonism. The recollective nature of Qohelet's reflection accounts for his reference to his reign in the past tense, looking back and seeing how he invested in all three of these. We have seen how Qohelet concludes that none of his experiences can provide man with a significant, short, or even long-term gain, and thus cannot satisfy man's yearning for eternal meaning. If man cannot change the world or provide for himself long-term advancement, Qohelet assumes life to be pointless. If man cannot accomplish a greater good, then by default, ein tov, he should seek no more than just his own pleasure. He should selfishly aim at the benefit of his efforts. And this is what he concludes in the last few psukim of chapter 2. He says, Ein tov ba'adam, so there's no good. I'm so frustrated. Now we understand the development from pursuing first actions, then wisdom. And then he says, do you know why I decided to pursue pleasure? Because I saw that there's no real point for man to do anything other than to enjoy himself in this world. Sheyochal v'shata v'herat nafsho tov ba'malo. Gam zera'iti ki miyad halukim hi. The very fact that God created all these forms of pleasure may attest to the fact that God wants us to enjoy all these various pursuits. And he says, believe me, I know what pleasure is. Ki mi ochalo mi achush chutz mimeni. Who, as he already told us at the beginning of the chapter, can better appreciate pleasure than I, who had everything at his resources? Although this conclusion frustrates Kohelet no less than the earlier rejected models, he sees it as the only sole sensible option. Man must not allow himself to be deluded by his own ambitious false sense of worth. If in reality he cannot accomplish anything meaningful, he is best off enjoying whatever pleasures, albeit short-lived, he is afforded. With this, we're going to continue Be'ezrat Hashem tomorrow, seeing how the first speaker of Kohelet's philosophies, the Nehentan, the intellectual hedonist, is now going to prove that such a lifestyle may not be bidyeved, but in fact, lechatchila, may be the ideal lifestyle. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef, Zechrona Levracha.